from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
And we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rain Podcast, Stanley Cup Finals. Of course, we are joined with Ranger Proud. Going to be talking Stanley Cup playoffs, hopefully get a little bit of Ranger news. It feels good to be back, ladies and gentlemen. I know we had a little bit of a hiatus. The Bleed Blue Show, our partners with his Ranger Proud, New York Yankees, talk Knickerbocker at Fair and Forum. Or you could go to Knickerbocker Avenue. You could go to the Big Blue Roundtable. All those great platforms that we do here on this Bleed Blue Show that we do talking sports. It's good to be back to talk sports with the guys. Love to hear from everybody. And without further ado, Ranger Proud, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. It has been a while. RP, sir, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? Everything's pretty good. Hope everyone had a good Memorial Day.
Yeah, please tell me, what did you do, by the way? What did you do for your Memorial Day?
What everyone else did, barbecued in the rain, had some scotches in the rain, you know. Relax for the weekend, hang out with the family, watch the little hockey last night, you know.
Yeah. Now, before, you know, what did you put on the barbecue in the rain? Like, what does Ranger Proud put on his grill? What did you guys
put on everything on his grill?
Are you, first of all, are you coal or propane?
Propane.
Oh, okay.
You do propane. I really should do coal, but propane is the easier way to go. You know, we do the basics, chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks, corn, all that good stuff. The family came over and had a nice day out of it. It was good. Visited some friends in Maryland on Sunday, did the same thing. It was a good weekend. Get away for a little while, recharge for the week.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. Enjoying your family, enjoying it with your friends. Let me think. After I got back from out of town, I was, what did I put on the grill? I was on the grill twice. So I know... it was the corn. I like to put a lot of vegetables on mine. We had a corn, asparagus, the chicken on one day, and the other day we had turkey burgers. So that's kind of kept it light, kept it simple. Didn't overdo it. Usually during football season, RP, you know, you get the steak, the meat, all kinds of stuff, man. But in the summer, I try to keep it light as possible. I like to mix it up, try different things, skews and bobs, all that kind of stuff. But it did, for this weekend, I kept it light this weekend, man. Definitely did. You had mentioned you watched the game, huh?
Yeah, I watched the game. It is the finals. And as much as you like, who cares? It kind of draws you in.
Yeah.
All us hockey fans, it sucks that it's not the Rangers, but you want to know something? It's the best trophy in sports to win, so I won't say I'm watching every game, but I tend to, catch the highlights and, you know, take a look at the box score and see who's doing what and so forth. And, it was an entertaining game last night.
Before we even get to the game, if there's any Rangers news, you know, we get first dibs first, our team first. Any news down the pike for the Blue Shirts before we get into Predators, Penguins? I can't think of anything since I've been back. What about you with the Blue Shirts?
The biggest thing, not really news. Sean Day, who's a Ranger prospect and draft pick, won the Memorial Cup with the Spitfires of Windsor the other night. It was on NHL Network. He's getting a lot of press, I got to tell you. He had a really good playoffs. He looked really good on the ice. And he's not ready to come up now, but he's the next big thing that a lot of people in the Rangers are talking about. So it was good to see them on television. Ryan Grope was on in some of the playoff games. Who's the next, another top prospect the Rangers are waiting for to come up and start to do his offensive magic with the team. So player-wise, I tell you, there's not a lot going on. You got about 10 days before it's really going to get busy with the protected list for Las Vegas. And, you know, the expansion draft and who the Rangers are going to protect or not. People aren't really starting with rumors and stories. The Rangers pretty much have it locked up except for one or two players. So So I don't know how much more you're going to see. I don't know if there's going to be any big trades or anything. It's kind of weird right now. No one really knows what to expect. You know, a couple of articles about, you know, what will happen with a guy like Kevin Klein. Will he be back with the team next year? He had a real tough season. You know, Rick Nash says he planned to be a Ranger next season. So nothing substantial, nothing, you know, down. Like you can say, oh, this is about to happen. More or less a lot of the same stories have been floating around the last couple of weeks. What's going to happen with Shattenkirk over in Washington? Will Brandon Smith stay with the Rangers? It always seems to me that the Rangers always have defensive woes, defensive issues, and they seem to linger on, and it looks like that's going to be another one of those kind of seasons, or off seasons, I should say. So there's not a lot going on. You know, everyone's doing their own thing. Personally, for me, I'm waiting for the finals to end. I want to see what's going to happen with the expansion. I want to see what the Rangers do with the NHL draft. It's the first time they have a first-round pick this year. So there's a lot of those little things. Free agency is always interesting. And news-wise, guys, I don't have a lot. As you can see, I haven't been posting a lot. That much going on. It's a wait-and-see kind of period right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a wait-and-see period right now, of course, because we have the final round. The Nashville, Smashville Predators, Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins, as of right now, up to 1-0 as we do the recording with Ranger Proud here on the Ring Podcast. Before I even get into the game, and we can discuss the game, have some fun with that. But let me ask, I would even say like this. I'm not even going to ask you a question. If you're a player, maybe even a younger player in the NHL, maybe not such a veteran over 30, somewhere under 30, and you don't have ties to the team, Las Vegas is not a bad attraction to go to a new place, man. It really isn't for younger player.
Not at all.
I don't see players. Oh man, I don't want to stay with the Sabres, or I don't want to stay with the Islanders, or whatever team. If their name gets picked and it's for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas, oh man, I'm pretty sure they're going to have their own little party.
Oh, absolutely. It's a unique place. It's not the place you would think there would be hockey, but if you really think about it, it's not really surprising. I mean, they're already playing hockey in the West so much, San Jose, Los Angeles, Arizona. So hockey in another hot area venue was really no big deal. The fear always was, you know, putting a team in Las Vegas, the gambling capital of the world. But with hockey players, I don't think it'll be as much of a concern as it would be with the NFL or NBA if that time came. So I think if you're a player, you're going to a brand new arena or a brand new practice facility. You know, you're in a startup league. And I tell you, they're giving Las Vegas every opportunity to be competitive, from the rules with expansion, rules with, you know, the teams allowed to make trades for draft picks to protect players. They gave Las Vegas every opportunity because of the amount of money they spent just to get the team in Las Vegas, every opportunity to be successful in their first season, not just like a regular expansion team. The NHL is expecting them to be competitive right off the bat. They have a good guy helming the team with George McPhee as GM, so people are expecting a lot of them really early.
Pretty much. My thing is, from afar, Frank, and then we'll get into the Stanley Cup stuff. From afar, Vegas to me, as a fan, doesn't seem like this ultimate. I don't see how, unless they sold a lot of season tickets, and I'm not sure as of right now. Vegas doesn't seem like the ultimate home ice advantage when opposing teams come in. It's like it's a unique situation, like you said. It's kind of like, it's an entertainment. It's another thing to do when you're out on the strip in Las Vegas. For those who have never been to Las Vegas, they got all these kind of shows. They got clubs, restaurants. The ice hockey is just, to me, another entertainment value, where it just seems like it's probably going to be 50-50 to me when opposing, you know, you're going to have a lot of Ranger fans go out to those games whenever the Rangers are in town, because it's Vegas, you know? You could make a vacation out of it and get to see your team. I think that's a lot of what these fans are going to do, especially with a lot of Canadians coming down from Canada, going into Vegas, a lot of the tourism that comes from Canada. It's going to be a lot of that. Like, you're going to see a lot of Montreal Canadian fans in the building, Maple Leaf fans in the building, stuff like that. Chicago Blackhawks, Bruins, of course the Rangers, like I said. That's kind of how I look at this thing with Vegas. They may be able to sell out maybe 1 or 2 years, but when the thing is old for the next 5 years or whatever, and they don't sell season tickets and the team is bad, expect that place to be like half and half. Kind of like what it is now with some of the West Coast teams that's not doing good. Like, you go watch a Rangers game versus the Coyotes, half the building's the Rangers.
I understand what you're saying. I think I was just trying to look it up, but I couldn't find it. I had read that season ticket-wise, at least for the first two seasons, was pretty much a sold-out opportunity with them. And I know what you're saying. You know, you would think it'd be – I think they're treating it more than just – a Vegas show. It's an NHL hockey game. I don't think the league or the owners of Vegas are going to let it get to that stature where it's, you know, well, if you're in town, come check out a hockey game. It's, you know, it's not the New York Mets minor team. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to put more into it. I think they're giving them an opportunity to be a very productive team early in their young stages and so forth. So I don't know how they're going to be 2 or 3 years from now when the newness of it settles down. But right now, being the first and only real professional sports team out there, I think if Vegas does the right thing, they're going to be able to build a fan base that, win or lose, they'll be able to hold on to. I think that's what they're looking for. I know they were selling a lot of tickets. A buddy of mine was out there was saying they were going through tickets fast. So it's going to be, a wait and see thing with that. But I think in the first season, first two seasons, I think if they could put it together, they won't have that stigma of being a Las Vegas show kind of hockey game. I think if they do it the right way from the beginning, they'll be able to go over that and be another hockey team in the NHL. Granted, a lot of teams are having problems and you know, with attendance and so forth. You know, you look at Arizona, which is a horrible example for the league, but it's the truth. And I think that's what they're not going to want to do. And I think, you know, look, it is a big money city. There's a lot going on. But, you know, it was sort of a reward, too. The NHL has the rewards there all the time. I think they have a good feel of what may or may not be happening. And I tell you, Steve, I think you're wrong. I think it's going to be really successful. I mean, football's going there in 3 years. So people must be realizing that. Well, exactly.
Let's hope so. But hold on. Let me say one more thing before, and now I'll let you continue. Hold on. Let me say one thing about that. The only thing about the season tickets, I just want to see who is buying it. For instance, it's an individual or people.
It was fans.
I just don't want to say
it's
– okay, that's where I was getting to. You're saying it's more fans buying it than, like, the Bellagio or the Venetian buying a bunch of tickets and reselling it to the guests.
I am sure that all the arenas and concierge and all – I mean, all the casinos and concierge got their hands on it. But I also read that a lot of fans – bought them. I also read that they're going to be keeping a part of a section or two for game day sales, either for visitors or for the fans that couldn't get into the season ticket deal. So you always have got to getting tickets. And that's Detroit's doing that too. So that's a big thing. I know they were talking about doing. I know Vegas definitely did it, but they were considering doing something in that to keep the regular fan coming and to keep the tourists coming. You know, there's so much going on out there. But I think you can compare it, Steve, to like the Garden. You got a lot of corporations and you got a lot of suits who buy season tickets, you know, for their client and all that stuff. But you also have the good fans that have season tickets for years. I think Vegas is going to be in that same boat.
There's a lot of similarities to that. I see what you're saying. I was thinking about that. But the Rangers have an established fan base, as you already know. But Vegas is more of a – I don't know. I can't say – Vegas in New York is right neck and neck as far as destination, people coming from out of town. But maybe more so Vegas when it's wintertime and it's colder in New York and it's snowing. But New York all year round, if you pound for pound, could compete with Vegas because New York gets it from all over the world. But we'll get into those talks in the next couple of weeks here on the Ring Podcast because this is an interesting dynamic because it hasn't really been done. When it comes to that type of city and with the professional sports. So I really find that intriguing. I look forward to even getting more in depth with that. You saw the Pittsburgh Penguins defeat the Nashville Predators. The way I took out of this game, Frank, to me, the Penguins, they could go on cruise control and probably win the series in no more than six, probably five, no more than six. It's really the Penguins series to lose, and it's not a knock on Nashville. It's just that the Penguins, to me, are just a very good team, a veteran team, a Stanley Cup champion team. They were up 3-0 at the end of the first. They scored on the 5-on-3 with Evgeny Malkin. Pekka Rinne made a mistake as far as a save. Averson made a mistake as well, letting Connor Sherry get behind him. Well, what did you take out of the game one, Penguins and Predators?
Yeah, I thought Rennie had a really tough first period. Of course, the reversal call on the Subban goal took the momentum away. You know, Nashville was playing well. But I got to tell you, I think Pittsburgh has to respect them a little bit more because the second and third period of the hockey game, Nashville put on a clinic. I mean, Pittsburgh didn't have a shot on goal for 37 minutes to play. Granted, the first shot they got was the winning goal. That's just the way it happens. But I think Pittsburgh had a lot of trouble once Nashville realized that they could play the speed and hitting game. That forecheck was phenomenal in the second and third period. The problem is, and we've heard this from some other teams, you have to play three periods of hockey, and that first period, that you know, it's hard to battle back from 3-0 in the first against the Penguins, and they did it. You know, they got that tying goal, and I was like, this is going to be something, you know, interesting here. And then, you know, Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They find ways to win. The good teams always do. So, you know, you got to really hope here. It's only game two, but Nashville really needs to get a split out of this. I don't think they want to go back into Nashville down 2-0. As you said, the Penguins are just too balanced, too experienced. You know, Sidney Crosby only has 3 Stanley Cup playoff goals in his career, and he's won 3 cups. So you can't say, Sid, the kid is going to be the one that's going to beat you. They are a team that, you know, Malkin and Kessel and Murray and Nett, they're a team from top to bottom. Anybody can hurt you at any time. And Nashville, as much as I said, Pittsburgh has to recognize Nashville's speed. Nashville has to recognize that it's not a one-man show. You can't just say, well, if I shut down Crosby and maybe Malkin, we got a good chance to win this game, because you don't. They have a lot of players that know how to score. They have a lot of players that know how to win. So I think next game, as much as I don't want to say it's a must-win, I cannot see Nashville going down 2-0 and finding a way to win the Stanley Cup. So they're really going to have to figure it out fast. They have to do what they did in the second and third period. I mean, see, they played an incredible second and third period. That was some fun hockey. Pittsburgh didn't know what was going on. I mean, you can shut down Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel to no shots on goal in over 37 minutes. You did something right. You can't say it was all luck. But as you said, they found a way to win, which the better teams do. So going to have to just come out. You know, hopefully they come out better. There was a lot of talk, Steve, about the overturning of that goal in the first period. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
You know, people are saying they should change it. That's not what the offside rule was made for. It was made for that play 2 years ago when I forgot what game it was, when the guy was 2 feet inside the zone. The puck came out and they called it good and he scored on a breakaway and won. And then they decided to make offsides reviewable. I understand the rule. I had no trouble with, I have to be honest with you. My only problem is that we as the fans don't get to see the blue line camera, because it's a camera on both ends of the blue line where the league can really see what's going on. We don't get that. From the views they showed, it was impossible to say if the Nashville Predator lifted his foot off the ice before the puck crossed the line. So if you want to sell it, and I say that expression because I umpire baseball, if you want to sell that call to the fans, you have to show us all the videos. Because every angle they showed, I couldn't see how it was offsides. There was no way to tell his foot came off the ice or not. So, I mean, I'm sure Toronto had a better view of it, but you would think even if it was today, you got to let people see it. You got to show that it's not, because, you know, the rumors, Crosby and the Penguins get all the calls from the NHL, all that garbage. I don't believe it, but it's what people say. Mm-hmm. So here's a real chance for the league to show everyone it was offsides. And then they don't do it, so of course you have all the conspiracy theory people and all of that garbage going on. And it kind of puts a little bit of a damper on what was a really good hockey game.
Yeah, it really did. You mentioned, let me go back to the 2 points. The number one point you mentioned about Crosby is lack of goal production, but the thing about that is that could be misleading. He has a good plus minus in whatever line he happens to play on, whether with, you know, with his Connor Sherry and Jake Guentzel. That hit he had put on to set up the Malkin goal is just a lot of those key plays that he's so good about as a player. He's known for his goal scoring, but he could get a little physical out there. a little bit chippy as well. He helped set up that Malkin goal, which Rennie should have stopped for that 1-0 lead. But even the second one, I can't blame it on Rennie at the way they turned it over to Puck. It was the second goal where I think it was Weber for the Predators, and when he was trying to I guess he tried to push the puck up the boards, and the Penguins they kind of intercepted it, and they set it up the second goal for Connor Sherry. It was a nice pass by Cullen, by Kunitz, and just little things like that. You can't the Penguins, like you said, they were held to without a shot on goal for a long time, but when they have opportunities, they will make you pay. They only had, I think, 12 shots on goal for the whole game. So going up 3-0, and I think, and I think you're right though. I think it was more Nashville than anything as far as a great display of pressure. They cashed in on power play goals. Pittsburgh got kind of complacent where they allowed that one goal. It was after the end of the power play for the Penguins, and. It was the defenseman that scored the goal for the Predators along the boards. He fought for the puck. But thing is with Nashville, they got to play a little bit better and they have to play a more complete game. They could win this game on Wednesday. They can win this game. They could definitely win this game.
They can definitely win the game. They really need to win the game. Like you said, the game one, you could have said they could have won it. They couldn't have won it. It was a tight game. It wasn't so much a game that they blew or gave away. I felt they were battling from behind the entire time, which is a hard way to play your first ever Stanley Cup playoff game. But then again, you have to remember it was their first ever Stanley Cup playoff game. So I'm anticipating them coming out with a little bit more, I don't want to say more fire. I think they'll come out smarter. I think that whole ambiance of, you know, your first ever playoff game, you know, now you've got that out of the way. I can see them winning game two. Going back to Nashville is going to be incredible. They have a great fan base and so forth. Their fans really get into it. They are the seventh man out there. And I think if they can come home with the split, they have a really good chance with this. So we're going to, you know, they're going to put it out on the ice and see what happens. Hopefully Rennie has a better start to his game. Like you said, you know, some of those goals you thought, you know, he got a piece of here, he got a piece of there. In earlier games and series, he made those saves. He didn't have that big save in the first period. It's really hard to be down 3-0 to the Penguins in the first period on the road. You were up 1-0, they overturned the goal, and then in a blink, you were down 2-0, then they got that late one. So I give them credit for coming back, but at the end of the day, the Penguins got the lead.
I think they got to get more out of the Victor Averson line with Fisher and Forsberg. Averson was up and down. He helped set up the screen with the Ellis power play goal. Thought he was good on when it came to that. But like we said with Pittsburgh all year round, when they played the Rangers or not, they have balance all up and down their lines. Man, they got a gunner on every line. Whether you got, it's no really no shifts off when you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I don't even think we've seen enough of the Pittsburgh Penguins yet. They came off of a tricky series versus the Senators where you saw blowouts from each side, and then you saw a close game. They even won their the clincher in double overtime. But the thing with Nashville as well, it's not like they went through some slouches either. It's not like they were playing some cupcakes either. I mean, they went through the Blackhawks. They went through the Ducks, the Blues. I mean, they played some good. They probably, to me, played the top of the West. So,
absolutely.
You got to think their confidence, knowing that they played against these teams all as road teams as well. And you saw how they blew through the Blackhawks. You saw how they came back versus the Ducks, and they really put it on the Blues. I think their confidence is high. That they probably would shake this off. Probably get back into make sure to cash in on their power plays like they did, and then also make sure that Averson line, which really made their whole season go, really gets back on track. I think that's pretty much the simple formula with the Predators.
I agree. And I think they definitely have the team that can do it. So you just got to, you know, at this point, it's that put up or shut up moment. Go out there, skate your game, take it to the Penguins. And, you know, and get the W out of it. They, you know, they can skate with them. They can hit with them. The Penguins have that huge advantage. But, you know, the Penguins have a lot of weight on them, too. Let's not forget. Going for back-to-back championships is a huge, huge accomplishment in the NHL. So it's not just like
You think it's a lot of pressure on them to win that, though? Let me ask you that. Do you think
absolutely.
It's pressure for the Penguins to win that?
Absolutely. How many opportunities do players get to say they won back-to-back cups? How many times do players get the opportunity to play in a series to win back-to-back cups? You know, they said it. If Crosby wins, what, it'll be his third cup in the same group as Jonathan Toews, Yzerman. These are the guys that he looked up to. These are the guys that he weren't, you know, he watched and so forth. And they had an interview with him in between periods or whatever. And he said he wants that back-to-back and he wants that third. He wants to be in those conversations. And I'm sure all these other players, you know, Hall and Tessa, these guys know these opportunities don't come up often. And I think back into the mind, they really want to be back-to-back champs. May never happen again. You make it another Stanley Cup, it may not be for another 4 years. The hardest thing, you could be Pee Wee hockey. The hardest thing to do is to repeat in any sport, baseball, football, basketball.
Well, it's a nice thing. It's a nice place to. It's a nice position to be in, though. I don't look at it as. I mean, they won. It's not like they haven't won. Like they were 0-2 and they're trying to get the first one.
But when you're there, whenever you make it to a final, you want to win. Now in the back of your mind, I could be a back-to-back champ. It may not have. It just may not happen again. And I think as a player. As maybe hockey is a little different because they're into, aside from baseball, they're really into the history and all of that. You look who's won back-to-back, you know, the Oilers, the Islanders, the Canadians. The Penguins done it, you know, have done it once, too. I think it was with in the Lemieux-Yaga era. These players remember. They know what it is. They know what they want. So I'm sure maybe it's not like pressure. We got to win back-to-back. But I'm sure it's on their minds that, you know, a perk of winning the cup this year is to be a back-to-back champ. And to me, I say it all the time, it's the hardest thing to do in any sport. It shows consistency, it shows teamwork, and it shows that you can put up a lot of hard work and, you know, and get it at the end. So I think they're really pushing for it. And I just hope P.K. Subban can shut them down.
It's going to take Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis and P.K. Subban, their top three defensemen, to really do it as good, if not better, job in game two than game one as well. RP, you have any final thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Rangers overall, and just how you're feeling right now with the almost the conclusion of the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2017?
It's a long hockey season. I'm going to try to enjoy what parts of the finals I can to watch it just because, personally, I really just like to watch hockey, any level, any skill. I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the end of the season because I really want to know what are the Rangers going to do. They've been very, very quiet on the front, which is kind of weird. You know, you don't hear a lot of rumors. You know, normally you hear, well, it looks like Klein's not going to stay or the Rangers are going to try to buy out this guy. There hasn't been a lot of that. The only real big news the Rangers did was fire their Hartford Wolfpack coach, Ken Gennando, and promote Chris Drury, which really isn't any on-ice activity at all. It's not even the main team by transaction. So I thought a little bit more would have been said. I don't know if they're purposely holding back not to away what they want to do, you know, expansion draft-wise. But I'm assuming that once the finals end, I think it's around June 18th, they have to submit their protected list. And on June 21st, Las Vegas to pick their players. And that's where I think you're going to start. And that the week before that, I think is when you're going to really start to see the ball rolling and see what the Rangers have planned, what they begin to plan for next season. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
That is Ranger Proud, ladies and gentlemen. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram. And RP, I am looking forward to those thoughts with this expansion team stuff after the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll have those episodes for the stakeholders here on the Bleed Blue Show. We're going to get into that because it's definitely newer territory for the fans. And it should be fun stuff after the Cup. And we'll see how this thing goes. So go Nashville Predators. Hopefully you guys could come back and do the job. And make me proud. Make Ranger proud.
Sounds good.
right, Bleed Blue Show. You know, Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast on iTunes Podcast Republic. Tune in your Stitcher app. And, of course, the podcast tab of BleedBlueShow.com. Here, Ranger Proud and myself, Steve, here on the Bleed Blue Show, talking NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.